Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. A made no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. A made no rain.
Hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as always by JD, by God Oliva. How you doing, JD?
Forgot my computer at work, forgot my hotspot at work, because we're out of sequence today, so I need you to let me know if the internet starts getting all world wonky on me, so I can jump feeds. But yeah, man, it's a thing. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, man, I'm good. You know, normally we'd be on Sunday night, and I could have went last night, but it was, watching the Super Bowl, and I wasn't really in a wrestling mood, and we would have been just a little bit later than normal. So we're just like, let's push it to Monday, which turns out to be like an okay thing. So we got a good story to kick off the show tonight, but I do want to do a little bit of house cleaning. So next week we are off because I will be in Gatlinburg because I found a timeshare preview deal where I get 3 nights and 4 days in a 5-star hotel or a cabin actually in Gatlinburg for like $100. But we have to sit through a timeshare presentation, which we're not going to be purchasing. So hopefully nobody in Gatlinburg like knows that, but you get a good deal if you're willing to sit through a 90-minute presentation about buying into the company.
Right. As long as you don't fall for that shit and lean into it, you'll be fine. Is that?
Yeah, you're going to have to pop out and pop back in, brother.
I'll do it. I'll be back.
So, yeah, we tried it. JD is just going to pop out and he'll be back on his cell phone. So that would be good. Chat's blowing up tonight. Chat, hit me up with all your best chats. Let me know what you're thinking on tonight. We're going to kick it off with a pretty big deal for TNA. Pretty big deal for TNA. So I know there's going to be a lot of TNA folks in the chat. So feel free to sound off about TNA's ratings for this week. But I do want to get JD's thoughts on it, but I'll go ahead and just read from my story. So I posted a story on Patreon for free. So go to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. The ratings articles are easy to write, so I don't feel like right charging for them. So I just write those up and I just keep them there to kind of like, it's the official record of what's going on in TNA. So TNA ratings week 4 on AMC from February 5th, 2026. So that episode delivered 241,000 viewers with a 0.05 rating in the adults 18 to 49 demo, according to WrestleNomics. So I think got it from Programming Insider. Marking the strongest performance of the AMC era and the clearest signal yet that this move is not just sustainable, it's actually paying off. Additionally, they were ranked 61st for the night and posted a 0.07 rating in the 25 to 54 demo, which is something that we're going to be tracking now. I had not been really paying attention to that, but it is a number that people think that we should be paying attention to. So I'm going to start talking about it because I think, you know, as younger people start, you know, moving off of cable and live TV in general and just go to streaming apps, advertisers are starting to lean more heavily into that 25 to 54 demographic. So as a, you know, it's still the 18 to 49 demo is where the ranking comes in. So when I say that they're the 61st for the night, they had the 61st best rating in the 18 to 49 demo, because that is the main target for advertisers, right? That's what that means. But the next most important is 25 to 54. And they had a 0.07, which is actually a little bit better. So, to put that into perspective, this episode drew more viewers than every episode of Impact during its entire Access TV run. That was 6 years. And it surpassed every episode dating back to September 20th, 2018 from the Pop TV era. That is a big deal. And that episode did, I think, 229,000, the Pop TV. So this one beat that. The one that was the week before on the 18th, I actually have like an Excel sheet. And the one from September 13th did like 250 some odd. So it almost reached that. So pretty big week. JD, did you get the numbers? It's 241,000 total viewers and 0.05 demo for a TNA Impact this week. Pretty incredible when you think about it, considering we covered these ratings on Access and they were nothing.
I mean, it's not terribly surprising considering you have a bigger network with bigger reach. Product is significantly hotter than it's been over the last 2 years. And I find it interesting because this week also had a big uptick in the Dynamite number two.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I should get those numbers, by the way. You go ahead and talk. I'm going to get those numbers.
I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist here, but one can say wrestling in itself is getting hotter. We're getting into WrestleMania season. Seems to be struggling to sell some tickets this year, TKO. I don't think that has to do with it. I think what's happening now is that Nielsen has finally course-corrected itself. Because remember, when we had these new, not new ratings, but new metrics to read the ratings, wrestling in and of itself took a humongous dump. Like, everything was super down. So the fact that everything seems to have turned around at the same time leads me to believe that, one, the both products are significantly hotter than they were a year ago, which I don't think anybody can argue. AEW is on an upward. TNA is on an upward. They're both doing well, considering where they are. Two, I think we're reading wrestling. We talked about before the show that Davey was talking about how he because they were getting like one viewer per home is the way Nielsen was reading that.
Yeah. Right.
So, and Dave's like, there's no way that they're only reading less, like a viewer per home. So, I mean, this is like when people argue about ratings, a lot of times they're just talking out of their ass because they don't really know what they're talking about, right? It's like when you have a Nielsen rating, Nielsen is guessing, literally they're guessing how many viewers per home are watching, right? And these are just best guess estimates. So sometimes when you see, we used to joke about the old Breaker Impact show, we used to joke about that our buddy Wade wasn't watching Impact 1 week.
Yeah.
Like, he would text Mike and be like, oh man, I didn't miss the show this week. And the rating would always be like significantly lower.
Yeah. Because so it was like one person with a Nielsen box equaled like 10,000 people.
Right. And that's literally what it was. So it's like, this is, and it's anecdotal evidence, but like when the numbers are as divided as they are in this day and age, and again, if this were talking 10 years ago, 200,000 viewers wouldn't make it a week. They'd cancel that shit immediately.
Yeah.
We're in a different world, you know, where the TV, except for the Super Bowl, where the TV eyes are more divided than ever before. So the fact that everything seems to be turning up at the same time tells me Nielsen has finally course corrected, which is good news for AEW and for TNA, because they can go to advertisers and say, look, they were bringing them more money, right? Because ultimately, that's the only reason that ad dollars matter is for advertising, or excuse me, the only reason why Nielsen numbers matter is for ad dollars. And what sucks is wrestling typically brings in shitty ads anyway.
Yeah, for sure. So AEW Dynamite from last week did 654,000 viewers with a 0.15 in the demo. The previous week did 0.09, but the viewership numbers were pretty similar. So, and then the previous year was a 605,000 with a 0.17. So they're basically back to getting where they were from the previous year before big data took over, the big data and panel measurement thing. So it just seems like Nielsen has kind of like finally come around. They probably had enough people complaining, enough wrestling people complaining, hey, you're undercounting us. So now the number of homes are greater. And then, like you said, most importantly, the number of viewers per home, which they absolutely were shortchanging Impact and shortchanging Dynamite and Collision for, you know, since, you know, for a while. And it looks like that they're back on track. Now, one could argue that this is all fake and the bad numbers were the real numbers. I think that maybe, I don't know. So, but you take a look at the historical numbers for Dynamite and they're kind of back up to where they were a year ago. That kind of makes sense because I think the product is a little bit hotter than it was a year ago.
I think the product is definitely a little bit hotter than it was a year ago. And I find that it's a positive thing when you can actually keep your numbers around the same as they were a year ago in an era where, and take NFL football, throw it out because that is an outlier. Everything else trends down. Everything trends down. Like, look at Raw from 1998, right? This is, look at that metric. It goes like this. It goes like everything always, but it's not like because people are watching the show less, which they kind of are. But I mean, like, everything trends downward. So if you can stay flat from one year to another or show growth from where it was a year prior, that's good. I do think AEW is on an upward spike. TNA is definitely, because just for the network change, we talked about this for years.
Yeah.
And we recently said big new distribution deal Gerard for years because that's what they needed. They needed exposure on a bigger network, and it's clearly working.
Yeah. I'm really happy for them, and I'll tell you why. Because I thought they blew it. That first episode was so bad. And then we get the rating, and it's 173,000 with a 0.04. Not a terrible rating, actually, for them. Not terrible, but it's much lower than what AEW does, like, normally. Not AEW, AMC does normally. So it's like kind of on the lower end of their station average with their original programming, but it's much cheaper than their original programming. So it's like, okay. It's like it's like pretty cost effective, and you're not really too far off of what you're normally doing. So, I was like looking at it from an aspect like that. Like, that's like, it's not great, but it's not terrible either. It's something that they could sustain and probably be on the station for a while, right? But now that it looks like that this has been course corrected, maybe we'll see. It's 2 weeks in a row they've grown, right? Mm-hmm. 2 weeks in a row. So last week they were 201,000 with a 0.04, and then this week 241 with a 0.05. That seems like steady growth to me, with a spike this week on a tape show with Ash by Elegance in the main event. So the Elegance brand, against Indy Hartwell and Zaya Brookside and Lei Ying Li in the main event. Which I'm going to put some of those ladies on the thumbnail for this clip. So somebody will see it, but it did great.
This is how you know this is just course correcting, because there's no way that match specifically is wrong. It's just not real.
Well, no, that was technically the match main event, but they had an angle at the end of the show that they've been building up to, and then they had Steve Macklin turn a heel on Santana, which they had been kind of building. So they advertised that Steve Macklin was going to say his goodbyes, and sure enough, he said goodbye, and then he beat up Santana, and so now he's a heel, and it looks like he's going to stick around. So.
Which we called on the show last week. So good, glad. I still think the majority of this, again, good show, doing well. People are excited about the product, but this is very clearly, this is very clearly built, of course, correct. Well, which is good. We want Nielsen to read better numbers for wrestling, whether it's real or not. All that matters in the TV ad game world, all that matters is the perception of the rating.
Yeah.
It's 100% accurate. All that matters is what some bean counter in New York who's trying to sell ads for State Farm Insurance can go, oh, that looks good. We'll buy that.
We'll buy that. All right. So I'm gonna let Io in on this. I'm gonna let Io, our buddy. We're a little bit mean to him last week. So we're gonna let him have a little victory lap. How about that? I think he deserves a little victory lap. He is the hardest working unpaid talent in TNA history, with as much as he tweets about TNA. But he says, it can't get any higher than that. That's what some account said after week one. That was me. I said that. I was like, it's only going to go down from there. But sure enough, you know, it did go up. But
I want a big asterisk next to that.
Yeah. Well, I think what we're seeing now is that everybody assumed that it would go down significantly. It not only did it not, it sustained for the next couple of weeks. And then it goes up. And then this week there's the big spike, because I think this is what they've been essentially what the numbers have been the whole time. Like, that's my read on it. Because when they got this TV deal, we assumed that they would be around this range. I was like 220, 225. That's what I was thinking.
When it came in at 170 for like your premiere episode, it's like, that's a disaster. We said those disastrous numbers. But it turns out not. So, I mean, like, you just got to look.
You have to
accept the reality of which you are presenting.
Yeah. So the title is TNA is not dead. So a lot of TNA fans are going to be coming in and taking their victory laps and go for it, folks. I want to get a couple questions in. Nonzo says, can TNA get a 300K viewership at this rate? Look, anything is possible, but I think they would need a big star. I think if they get a big star, that is a possibility, right? Because, they got access to Kenny Omega and they did 220,000 on Access TV. That was the highest rated show in the history of that channel. So if they were able to get a big star bigger than AJ, like, and sign them and like that's their guy, then yes. But will they be able to do that? I don't know. It seems like highly unlikely because as of right now, they're not making a ton of dough off of this show. If they were, then we would know about it.
So here's the thing. I'm a firm believer that the vast majority of professional wrestlers are themselves not draws. Brands draw. So the if the company were to continue to get hotter, maybe. But I mean, like, I don't foresee that happening anytime soon.
Yeah.
Maybe, I just don't. Like, if AJ and Chris Jericho were to sign, maybe if like Roman Reigns showed up or something.
Yeah. I think Roman, if Roman Reigns or CM Punk, you're probably, they'll get to like 400,000 or 500,000. I think that they would spike it, but that's never going to happen. Like, that's just not happening.
Yeah. No, I just, at the moment where we are now, unless things continue to dramatically shift, I don't see that.
I think that a Jericho tease and surprise and a built up one time deal, could he get them over 300 one time? Like the first time? I think I could see that. Yeah. Cause it's what, 12 Nielsen boxes? I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, if there would have to be a conscientious marketing push outside of the program. And they're pretty good at grassrootsing their ticket sales.
Yeah.
Grassrootsing ratings is a different story. So, I mean, you would have to lean into your WWE leverage to make it happen. The only way they can get that kind of number is if WWE decided, okay, we're going to throw them a bone and really push them for a week.
Yeah. So, and for that to happen, I think Collision has to go head to head or something like that.
Or Dynamite or something like that. Maybe.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting experiment. That would actually be okay. I would actually want to see that for 1 week. If, let's say, AEW Dynamite had to move to a Thursday for whatever reason, and they loaded up a Dynamite, and Impact had to respond and load up, and WWE decided to help them, what would those numbers look like for a night? That's a fascinating question.
That is a fascinating question. All right. So let's get to Carlos Silva. Carlos Silva copying, I think he might be making fun of Tony Khan here. I don't know, but he said four Thursday Impact shows and the fourth was the biggest in 8 years on TV. Where'd you get that information, Carlos? You sure didn't know it. You posted this right after my article came out. I know you read it. It's cool. You don't have to give me credit, brother, but thanks to all I've watched. Everyone celebrate for a minute. But then it's back to work, making Impact even better. So that is one Carlos Silva, the man in the hat, big Carlos himself.
I don't know if he's making fun of Tony Khan in that. If he is, it's not.
No, I don't think he's making fun. Like, he's in a mean-spirited way. I think it's more of a not even a dig, but Tony Khan did that the previous week for Dynamite and whenever he released the numbers. So I think that's all that was.
It's a stretch. I think that's just, I think any executive for a company, especially when it's worked as hard as Carlos has, should take a victory lap and you have a win.
Oh, yeah. I kind of dig that he's taking a victory lap. My screen's all wonky. Just give me a second. I did something to the screen. You guys are going to be surprised to hear this, but I don't really know what I'm doing. Here we go. All right, we're back.
It's clear. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, bro.
Let's see. Stephen Patrick said, Conrad Thompson, genius, said, was saying if they shit the bed in the first episode, they were doomed. And he was wrong. Guys, I said the same thing.
Dude, no, that's not. No. See, we're trying. No. We can't play these retroactive games when Dave Meltzer is even talking about how Nielsen is changing things again and course correcting. Yeah. So, I mean, like, all you can do is report on the numbers. If those are the legit numbers, TV ratings trend downward. They just do.
They do, yeah.
Now, TNA has been bucking some trends. So you've got to.
I think I did it in my article last week. I said normal rules don't apply to TNA.
They just don't.
All right. Let me see. Let me get to the Nielsen methodology. So this is from my article. Go to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. Free article because it's easy to write. It's also important to acknowledge the broader industry context. As detailed recently by Variety, Nielsen has implemented an update to how it measures television audiences, expanding the universe of households and devices counted. That change has resulted in higher reported total viewers and households across cable, very, very specifically cable right now, because NXT numbers have remained unchanged, but the other wrestling numbers have gone up, particularly for live and live adjacent programming, and professional wrestling appears to be benefiting from it for sure. And I think that is the broader context. I think last week we saw some of that where TNA, the number of households went up, but the number of viewers per household did not go up. And so that's why the number seemed like skewed in the total viewership. But this week it's been corrected, it seems. There was somebody had a question about the female viewership went up. Yes, I don't know what the number is though, but I did read it. The female viewership went up, but I'm not. So somebody was sending me like 12 to 17 demos and like female demos. I'm like, I can't get it. I can't, like, it's too much. I can't do all of that. But
the sample size is this small, and you cannot read into this. This is literally what you're talking about. Literally like tens. I'm sorry, but that's really what it is. It's like tens of people. So I mean, like. Be careful when you're reading.
Yeah, relax a little bit. Let's see. AWN 415. TNA should bring in some main roster players to make cameos and then list a bunch of WWE stars. They can't just do that. They have to like request it. Like they don't have the power to be like, hey, give me Asuka. Like they have to make a deal.
So like AEW should ask Bad Bunny to show up on their show after everything that's been going on too. Like I should ask.
He might actually, because Ruben Gallegos, the senator from Arizona, is like, hey, look, Bad Bunny, you need to switch teams and go to AEW. That guy's all aboard, the senator from Arizona.
That blew my mind. I saw that. That blew my mind today. Yeah. But that's my point. Is it like, it's not like Cardinals calls Triple Paul and is like, hey, man, give me all this. He doesn't care that much. No. Like, they enjoy helping TNA to spite Tony. But when you read into what's going on at WWE right now, they got to be full hands on deck with WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like the story going around is tickets aren't selling, right? And
the story is
they have to correct. They're trying to figure out the right creative right now to get asses in the seats in Vegas. Where's it? It's in Vegas.
Vegas,
right?
Yeah. I got some buddies that went last year. They're like we would go this year, but they raised the ticket prices again. We're not doing that 2 years in a row. It's just not happening. It's ridiculous. Like,
TKO is very inept. Like, they're just trying to maximize profits right now at a time when the economy is not doing very well. So, I mean, like, it's really stupid. But that being said, they're not going to do that. They're not going to give them all these main stars because, one, that doesn't – and TNA shouldn't do that. They shouldn't allow it to happen because, one, that does not help their brand.
No.
Showcasing a bunch of WWE main roster stars who are going to go away tomorrow – doesn't help you sell tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, so I think the numbers being as high as they were last week, I think you do got to give some credit to TNA and the TV show being better lately. I think you do. Mm-hmm. I think Nielsen, the change is a big factor in it, but I also think that TNA holding onto their audience and growing, you know, being able to grow it. And it seems like the demo rating isn't really a big part of the Nielsen, but the point I'm trying to make is last week they only had one NXT star on the show and he's a lower level guy. It was Stinks Lorenzo. So he's not really affecting it. I think TNA needs to try to do their best to do as well as they can on their own merit and not become dependent on WWE talent for their shows, because Delirious will tell you what like how that ends up for you if you become dependent on another company's main stars, right? Ring of Honor was being built up by the Young Bucks and New Japan for a couple of years. And when they didn't have access to those talent, what happened to them? Delirious was booking TNA now, right? Like that's just the way that it goes. You can't become dependent on that.
No, he's what he is. I think that too is one thing to ignore about TNA is TNA fans are remarkably loyal. I mean, show is a great example of that. Like most television programming, AEW and WWE consider. If there's a bad episode of TV, you're going to lose some viewers. People are like, I don't want to watch this. TNA fans will come back.
Yeah.
They'll come back.
Yep. TNA will survive the apocalypse. TNA is not dead. It is surely alive. I did tweet out that picture. Do you remember the God's Not Dead movie with Kevin Sorbo and Dean Cain?
I know of it. I never watched it.
Yeah. So Dave Meltzer, when he tweeted out the ratings here, I'm gonna pull this up. When he tweeted out the ratings, I went ahead and made a graphic because that's what I do.
Of course.
I made a little graphic. So yeah, TNA is not dead. Using the movie poster from that.
That's good. Nice job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want to say how I did it because some baby pygmy elephants in the Sudan died before me to make that, unfortunately. So I'm sorry, but it only took me a couple of seconds to make it. So how could I not just like hit the button and say, "Hey, make this for me."
What it is, man.
So yeah, we got to embrace it. All right, let's chat. You guys keep blowing up. If you want to stop me in my tracks, if you're dying to talk, tell me something about TNA or ask a TNA question, hit me with a super chat and I'll stop dead in my tracks, but I got to get on to the next topic. JD, you watched Dynamite last week, right?
First time
what did you think of the main event between Brody King and MJF leading to this coming up main event this coming up weekend? And what did you think of the chant that happened before the main event there in the Pearl in the Palms Theater with 1,100 strong chanting F Ice before the main event started? What are your thoughts there? And what do you think that AEW should do about it, more importantly?
Okay, so I've got some thoughts on this. I was shocked that it got to that point, like as was MJF, because the look on his face, like, oh shit, it got something. Yeah. We're living in very political times. We'll see.
Yeah.
We're living in very volatile times, and people are not happy. That's how you know things aren't going well politically in your country, is when nobody is happy. So, am I surprised this is going on? Nope. Kids are having an ice walk out for school tomorrow. So, you know, officially, I can't have any thoughts on that. But
good job.
Yeah. Officially, I'm listening on that. I think Tony needs to see where this goes this week, right? You have to see. It caught a lot of we joke about Ruben Gallegos talking about it. Like that's
big.
Like the fact that finally for AEW, they had a chance to really stand out, right? And I said that don't run away from being the woke wrestling company. And because you and I have always said that AEW needs to be different. And WWE is so closely aligned with the current administration. Like so closely,
they are, and I want to just touch. I don't mean to interrupt you, but don't want to lose my train of thought if I don't. So Dave Meltzer on his podcast, Wrestling Observer Radio, stated that WWE stays apolitical. I would say for the most part on their television show that they do, but not on their socials because Triple H is like a member of the administration. They do on television, over the course of their TV show, it's not like an overtly political show. I would think that's factual, I would say, but the company as a whole is not apolitical. They're in fact in bed with the Trump administration, like for real.
There's lots of stretches in the history of this company that the company has leaned to the right massively. Going back to The Rock speaking at the Republican National Convention.
I'm talking modern day, though. Yeah.
I'm talking modern day, but I mean, the company has a history of leaning very right. And these are I would say you have a point, but there's a lot of those people are still active in the company. Like, Donald Trump is in their Hall of Fame. Linda McMahon is the Secretary of Education. Excuse me. that every time I say that, I have to gag a little bit. Like, the company they can pretend to be apolitical, but they are not apolitical.
Yes, and I think what you just said was the perfect way to describe it. They're pretending to be apolitical when, in fact, they're not apolitical. They are a right-leaning organization.
Well, put it this way, too. If that chant had broken out during an episode of Raw, they would have cut to something else or killed the audio.
Yeah.
They would not. Well, they have a lot of blah, blah. Becky Lynch has to do her cute little "Ooh, I hate the ice on the ground" tweets because she, you know, they're gutless over there.
Yeah. CM
Punk has the biggest balls in the world until he gets on TV, and then he becomes fearful of his job.
Right. You know, a lot of people have balls unless money's on the line, and then you know,
which is fair. But Brody King wears an abolished ice shirt, and that gets this kind of thing. That being said.
Brody King seems to be the type of guy that's happy being poor. Like if he was poor again, he'd be okay, I think.
I think so. Brody King. Now, that being said, I think that you should consider steering heavily into this skid right now. And if this keeps up for a number of weeks, I think you put the belt on Brody King for a little bit.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I always, when it comes to business, right, I am always of the opinion that you should stay apolitical because Republican money spends just as well as Democrat money. It's the Michael Jordan philosophy. He's like, Republicans buy Jordans too. He doesn't care. But unless you think you can make some more money by leaning into a leftist ideology, you might be able to. I mean, you know, it going that way does work for some networks. I would say I think if you go too far with it, you're going to alienate a lot of people and lose a lot of viewers if it becomes an overtly political show. But if you're talking about just one guy leaning into it with just one guy and letting him wear a abolish ice shirt down to the ring to fight a heel, the only problem is wrestling fans are pussies. You cannot have a heel be a fan of ice. It just won't work. So,
no.
And then it's like, what's the story at that point? Where's the heat?
You don't know. That's the thing, is you don't have to have heat. Brody King just gets to be Brody King.
Yeah.
Right. He just has to wear the abolished ice shirt to the ring. And I don't think you need to do like Jim Cornette. Okay. If Jim Cornette was booking wrestling to steal your joke, Chris Jericho was wearing ice. That's your joke.
You should have just taken it. I don't want to get in trouble.
I don't remember exactly how you said it. It was really funny how you said it.
I said that if a Jericho, like, they had the opportunity, the funniest thing ever, and a way to bring Chris Jericho back is make him be an ice agent.
Yes, that's would be perfect. But I don't think you have to be so over the top 1980s with it.
No,
you have to do is just show up and let Brody King be Brody King.
Yeah.
The same way, like most of the, like Hulk Hogan wasn't always fighting foreign villains, right? But he always had that American flag. It was always part of his identity. He always came out to real American, right? There's no difference in that kind of approach. So with Brody King, you can be that guy. You can be the big, scary-looking, you know, ultra-liberal guy. And, like, I'm not saying he has to be, like, get on and cut anti-ice promos. Like, that's very Jim Cornette. That's how he would do it. I don't think you have to do that. I think you just let him be him.
Right.
And be that guy. And then just putting the title on him. And I think that having him in the main event scene right now says a lot. And more importantly, it helps differentiate you from your competition. At least for a minute, at least to give people a chance to watch your show, because that's ultimately all that matters, is can you convert that into new eyeballs? And I'm super curious how things look on Wednesday, because it did make national news. CNN, NBC, like I saw multiple networks talk about it.
And then I would say even more importantly, influencers on both sides of the aisle were talking about it, because there were some like left wingers like, right wingers are super mad about it, of course. And then left wingers are like, oh, when the right loses pro wrestling, you know, you've really had an issue, because they just look at pro wrestling fans as being dumb redneck right wing hicks. But what they don't understand is that AEW's kind of always been this left leaning company, right? That's kind of what they were founded on. Mm-hmm. You know, equal pay for equal work. That never happened, by the way. That was bullshit. Yeah, that was bullshit. They don't, AEW doesn't have a union either, guys. They're full of shit.
it's all a work. It's all a work. But I mean, that's the thing, is you could at least like utilize the work, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't have to twist my arm to make Brody King your world champion, because I think he's great. I do. It's yeah. You can flip flop it too if you wanted to. Yeah.
Like, there's nothing wrong with giving Brody King a month reign. You know,
yeah,
just while it's hot, because I think you have to take advantage of it. Like, I would love the idea of Brody King showing up on a talk show, just looking like Brody King.
Yeah.
Like, people would talk about that. That's a guy that, like, that's a dude that passes the quote-unquote, didn't know the Jim Cornette is an airport test.
Yeah.
Brody King walks in your airport, you're going to, like, go, that's a scary-looking dude.
Right. So here is the question about Brody King. Is he eloquent enough to be able to communicate a message without totally getting the company into trouble and losing sponsors? Because if you follow his Twitter, he is not. So is he media savvy enough to go and have those conversations and say, like, actually have a position? His position can't be kill all cops, which I've seen him say that before. So you can't, like, that can't be the position, right? The position has to be like, hey, look, I think the mission set for these ICE agents is out of control. And a lot of these folks are not trained very well, and they've been radicalized by the president. And so they need to be reined in, or they need to go away completely. And then kind of scale things back, and then say, like, you know, enforcing immigration policies is not the worst thing in the world, but you got to do it, you know, in the right way. Like, is he capable of doing that?
You can't put him on you can put him on a show where he gets interviewed. You could put him on The View. You could put him on something, which would be entertaining as fuck.
I would love to see him on The View. That'd be fantastic.
Fantastic. You can put him on a softball show like that, but you cannot put him on a Fox News thing where he'll because I don't think he is that guy. And quite frankly, we're talking pro wrestling, so I don't think you get a lot of it.
Yeah.
I just don't. Yeah. Like, and I think you put him on there just to buck some trends to get people like, oh, wow, look at this, just because of his look. Like, and then Jeff made that joke a couple weeks ago. I've never seen a liberal man look more like a Nazi. Like, and even they both laughed.
That ruled. That joke was awesome. Sure, yeah.
Sure did. But that's like, you could roll into that and utilize that in a way that really hasn't been done before. And I think that, again, helps AEW stand out just because of his look. You just let him be a little personable. Like, you know, the guy who's held their title longer than anybody else is terribly media, is not media savvy at all. John Moxley avoids media attention like nobody else.
Yeah.
He hates that shit. So you don't have to. I'm just saying you have an opportunity to. You got Max, but Max isn't the guy who can talk. Like, even if Max, which he kind of, it sure seems like he actually does believe this stuff, but he's not the kind of guy to shine a light on it.
No, well, he's a heel.
Right. Who's been good at being a heel? He's actually, this is as much more successful from a creative standpoint reign for him than the first one, because he's just being himself. Yeah. Right. So now you have a guy like a Brody King who tags with Bandito and, like, dude, it freaking writes itself.
Yeah. No, I'm interested in the idea. I would have to, like, if I were in Tony Khan's position, be like, here, what's the pros and the cons here? And because, you know, it's easy for us to say, here, you should do this. Yep. It's your money, not mine. Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. I think his legacy says, this is pretty funny. It says Tyrus versus King on Fox News. I think King would eat his ass alive.
I think Brody King would be really shit at a Tyrus.
Yeah. I mean, Tyrus is a big dude, but Tyrus also cannot move. But I'm just talking about in a debate on Greg Gutfeld. I think Brody King would probably. That's the thing, is like, I don't know how trained he is, but because Tyrus, like, say what you want, like, he's been on the show a long time talking politics. He's, like, trained on how to do that. So I don't know.
Well, he regurgitates the Fox talking points.
Yeah,
like I don't want to get into the whole thing, but those people have their list of bullet points that they stick to, and they don't. If you play for that side, you don't get out of your talking points, and you rarely bring on people who can challenge your talking points.
Yeah.
Right. You never see those kind of things. So,
yeah. You know, this is an apolitical show, JD, but these fucking ICE assholes need to be reined in. They need to be reined in. They need to be better trained. And, they got to stop marching around like a Gestapo force. I'm sick of it. And, something's got to change. So, I have no power, but something's got to change.
Mike, you're a retired military. Like, and the fact to listen to you say that just says kind of where we are. Like, they're out of control right now. It's Stephen Miller. Like, the sooner that guy is out of power, like, that guy's something else.
Yeah, I don't want to stay on the topic too long, but when you give these guys a quota and said go fucking do it, and like they're meatheads, like this is what happens, right? So, yeah. Anyway, let's get off of that topic because I don't want to get too pissed. I wanted to bring up something. Oh, hold on, this is a good point. I'm not going to say this out loud. I'm just going to bring it up on the screen. JD, okay. It says Can you even read it? Cause on your phone,
I got to blow it up a little bit.
Well, that's a good point. I think that's a good point. Like, I don't know.
No comments. However,
we're not going to get in trouble. I'm just saying, like, I'm just trying to, you know, we have viewers here. You know, thank you. Head to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. I'd greatly appreciate it. We respect you guys. You guys respect us. Thank you. Okay. AEW is getting Iconic. Rumor has it that AEW, hold on, they're trying to expand the roster. They just have two former WWE tag team champions, former TNA, two-time TNA tag team champions. They got a tag division now. They're getting ready to go to Australia. Why wouldn't you want? This is like bringing in the Midnight Express in like 1987 into your company. Like, why wouldn't you want Cassie Lee and Peyton Royce or whatever her name is? Why wouldn't you want the Iconics, the Inspiration, JD?
Did you seriously just compare the fucking Inspiration to the Midnight Express? Michael, did you seriously, like...
The Paul Heyman version, but...
Oh, my Lord.
We're going to get canceled.
I was going to make a joke because it's Tony Khan's money. And I'm like, well, my first thought was, well, he spent money on worse things. And I thought about them. And that's mean. I'll get in trouble if I say that. Yeah. But, like... If you're going to bring him in for the Australia loop, okay. Okay. I'm okay with that.
Dave is saying they're signed, man.
But that's what I'm just, why?
So here's the thing. So I talked about it on Brace for Impact because they just left TNA. They finished up. They were like on a 6-month deal with TNA. I think TNA was smart to bring them in on 6 months, see what they had. And I don't think they really made him a competitive offer to stay. And like a month later, their negotiations with AEW looks like that's what they're headed. They didn't get over in TNA on this last run. TNA put the belts on them, but they didn't put them on them right away. They waited a little bit, then they put the belts on them. And for whatever reason, like, they didn't have the juice anymore. When they first came into TNA, they got over this. Then you like 4 years go by, they come back and they didn't have the juice. They weren't over. It was the same tired act from the WWE, and people just didn't really want to see it. And I'm not like a hater of the act, because when they came into TNA the first time, I thought they were fine. Like, they made me laugh, but it doesn't seem like they got it anymore. Now they're going to AEW, and I just don't understand.
I understand, because Harley is their friend. Like, you and I, the first time that the Iconics came back or came in the first time, and they had that video, you and I were both like, what is this video? Like,
yeah, Harley Cameron.
Yeah, like, that's hard. Yeah, it's hard to camera. I remember making it like, who is that? And then, like, a couple years later, she's on Dynamite. Like, so I think that Harley is trying to pay back her friends who kind of gave her in. So I think she's advocating. And I get Harley doing that. She's a good person, right? You should always take up for your friends. But Tony, like, if you're bringing them in to lose to Harley and Willow, okay, sure.
Right.
Like, pay per view slate with them, all right, okay. But I mean, like, I don't see what kind of, I mean, like, I don't see the value of them long term, not even medium term. Short term, okay. For Australia, okay, sure. The act is not great. I mean, like you said, they're going to come in and they're going to do the same shtick they did in WWE and in TNA twice. And I don't think that an AEW fan base is not, I don't think they're going to take to it.
No, no. Junkyard Akiyama is pissed.
What's up, Red?
Yeah. And which makes me happy. I love it when, like, him and King of the North, and because all they want to see is wrestling matches. Like, that's it. And I'm just like, you know, you got to have more than that on your TV show. And so AEW fans are the most spoiled fan base, like, ever, because they have nonstop great matches all the time. And then anybody comes in that's not like a part of that, like, great match brigade, like, the where their duty is to give Dave Meltzer like 5-star matches for his newsletter, like, if they're not doing that, the AEW fan base goes crazy. And they just don't want anything to do with it. It's like, no, you're not capable of these kickouts, so you're not allowed to be here.
I love Joe and Rich, but there's so many Joe and Rich clones or guys that try to, like, parrot them on the shows and their, like, Twitter feeds to the gut that it get. And I'm not calling, you know, Akiyama and the King.
No, he's not. Yeah.
But there are a lot of people that talk like that. And it gets me kind of like you and I both, like, I don't think we're both sports or entertainment fans, but you and I both respect a promo or a comedy segment or like understand that, you know, you need something a little different. Like, I agree, you can't have 6 5-star matches on a single show, like on an episode of Dynamite. TV just doesn't work like that. That being said, the freaking Inspiration, the Iconics, like, there's just no, like, that's just, there's, I don't get, I mean, I feel like Tony's just trying to buy out TNA at this point, just trying to put everyone on it, like, hire everyone from that company, which
it's not,
that's a wise move, Tony.
Yeah, well, look, it's backfiring on him because he signed, now he's signing the Inspiration. He signed 3 of the 4 Rascals. He signed all 4, but he gave Trey back, so thank you. He signed Jake something. And then, but then previous to that, the previous year, Speedball and Josh Alexander, who've worked out pretty well. And then he got Ace Austin, who is starting to get a little bit more TV time, hasn't done much. And then, so, you know, he signed a lot of their stars and they're growing.
So, I think the knock on Tony has always been he signs people and doesn't do anything with them. I think the people, the vast majority of the people they signed in 2025 have gotten sustained pushes and are on TV frequently. Like Tekla's in the title program right now, and she's actually
Andrade just beat Omega, dude. Holy shit.
And Swerve, he's beating Swerve and Omega. So like, and it's like I said, we talked about, like, I was the biggest on Mike Bailey, but I kind of like the tag team with Kevin Knight. Like, when I think Mike Bailey works pretty well in that role with the tag team, helping get a young guy over. Like, that's pretty effective use of him. Josh is starting to get more time. Like, I would love to see more with Ace Austin done, but it's a big roster. I think that Antonio tried to take something. He just
take something. He's a little bit muscular, and sometimes when that happens, your muscles pop. So
But I think it's an unfair thing to say that he just signed. I think in the past he signed a lot of people and been like, ugh, what did I do?
Yeah, but if people think that he's signing TNA, and I absolutely think that the timing of getting the Rascals and Jake something right before TNA's debut, that was a shot across the bow. That was him trying to cut their legs out from under them. And then the Iconics losing on TNA, and then now they're going to AEW, and it looks like they're probably saving them for the Australia show. you could say that's a shot across the bow. And which is fine. I don't think he's signing people just to sign people. I think he actually thinks he can use some of these folks. The timing is to mess with TNA. But unfortunately for him, it's not working, right? Because he's for the most part signed like really good wrestlers who are not like crazy over, that are actually gonna do anything to his business. And TNA just does what TNA does. They just sign more people, and they just kind of replenish the roster, and they're doing fine.
You're right. TV show's doing fine. If they were crazy over, they wouldn't have been able to sign them in the first place. Like, and I think that Tony's not interested in signing main eventers because they actually have an abundance of main eventers. Like, the successful storyline right now is there's a shit ton of dudes after MJF. Right, so you have a pretty healthy main event scene right now in AEW.
Yeah.
Mid-card's always the freshening up. You always need a more fresh mid-card. And did you see the news today that broke that Will Hobbs is not actually 35? He's actually 41, which makes sense.
Was he like a baseball player from from the Caribbean or something like that? The light on his birth certificate?
Yeah, Danny Almonte, I believe the kid's name.
Yeah.
Like, it's an old joke. So I'm like, he's actually 41. So it makes him jump into the WWE a lot more sense. Like, you know, got to give it a shot now. So, I mean, like, that's the thing, though. Is like, this is like a Danhausen thing where Danhausen must have pissed him off really good, right? Yeah.
Wasn't there a rumor going around that Danhausen was like moonlighting, selling merch, like on the side with like AEW stuff on it?
I think he had nerd it. I think that's what they were saying.
Yeah.
Like, he must have really pissed Tony off because Tony's got him in the Island of Misfit Toys forever. I think you always need to tweak your mid card, right? Because the mid card is what eats up a majority of your TV time, right? So you always got to keep that mid card nice and fresh. And then, you know, Kip Sabian and Sammy Guevara are going to have jobs forever, right? They're just never going to fire these guys.
They know where the bodies are buried for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they ain't going nowhere. Though, I don't know. I'm okay with the rest of them. I think the Rascals are great, and they've been using them. And it's they're good. That they're the Rascals are perfect guys to eat up your mid card, have cool kick ass matches in the middle of your show. You need those kind of guys. Yeah. They're actually going to have a ladder match, and you're going to want those dudes flipping off the ladders. They're really good at that stuff.
Yeah, they're going to have really fun matches in the mid card of very little consequence, but they're going to be exciting, and those guys are important to have. All right, we're gonna start wrapping this up here pretty soon. We got a couple of questions, and then we're gonna send it on home. This one comes from Matthew Roller. This is fun. It says, "Hey, curious, what do you guys think of AJ Styles possibly buying TNA and doing one last epic run instead of going to AEW? I think AJ Styles is a wealthy man. I don't think he has enough money to buy TNA.
Do you mean to actually purchase the company outright?
I think possibly buying TNA. Yeah. I don't think that he has that kind of money. I'm pretty sure he's wealthy, but he ain't got that money. Yeah,
he's gotta be wealthy. So yeah. This guy wants AJ to buy the company and book himself on top.
Yeah, it was Jeff Jarrett.
See, that would work.
Yeah. I think it would be fun to see him go back there. And I do think that he doesn't seem to be he's retired. He's leaving the door open to wrestle a couple more matches, but I think he wants to be off the road. I think that's the issue. And I think that he's going to be WWE for life. That's the impression that I get. But being WWE for life means you could probably do TNA if WWE says yes. And I could see them saying yes. So, but we'll see. It's not on the schedule. So we'll see. Killer Kelly most likely, yeah, probably heading to AEW. I would be curious to see. She was around TNA for a long time, but she didn't really improve. But maybe she can improve with getting in the ring with some better wrestlers and wrestle more often.
So here's the thing: they're gonna put, if they had signed Killer Kelly, she'll do their ROH circuit stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's just probably, you know, yeah, that's kind of what Killer Kelly kind of should be, and they kind of need some, you know, people there. I don't know. It seems like Tony gets interested in doing stuff with ROH every 6 months, and nothing ever comes of it. So maybe they're probably gonna do something with ROH at some point. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Okay. All right. King of the North says need the tag belts off. Find the remote. He hates FTR. I love FTR. Yeah.
They're really good. I don't. They haven't been in WWE since before the pandemic. Like, I think we have to let that go. It's been like 6-7 years they've been in this company.
I forget that they were the revival. I almost said the revolver. Yeah, the revival.
That's a good name.
But he can't be called the revolver anymore after getting like, you know, almost jammed up with the gun thing. He acquitted, but still.
Quitted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand this hatred of the rivalry.
Yeah, who are you gonna put the belts on? I mean, as much as I love Speedball and Kevin Knight, but they're transitional at best, right? Like they're not going to be a sustained top tag team.
I think you could put them on them for a minute and would be just fine. I think they. Yeah. I think it's going to have a pretty decent run. Who else is there? I think the Rascals. Only a matter of time for the Rascals to have those tag team titles. Like.
Yeah, it would have been cool to see Davis and Doyle with the tag titles. Like that would have been the move.
That was going to happen. I am convinced that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Mark Davis has shitty luck, man. Really
good. Did you hear what Megan Bain and Penelope Ford's tag team name is?
I did not, actually.
It's Mega Bad.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is a really bad name for a tag team.
Mega Bad? I mean, that's
Mega Bad. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Very creative over there. AWN says, why isn't TNA signing KJ Orso? I don't know who that is. Vicious Vicky, the Australian guy, and Richard Holiday. Richard Holiday, I think that seems like inevitable to me. I don't know. Like, he seems available. Australian guy, Adam Brooks, was on TNA this week, and he looks fantastic. I don't understand why he's not already signed.
That's the thing about signing guys from different countries and different continents is that it's not exactly easy to just bring them in. There's a lot of work stuff that has to be done. They might be trying to bring him in, but it's not exactly easy just to sign him back in Australia.
He was on Impact and he was in the Battle Riot last week at the same time, like literally on the screen at the same time. Pretty funny.
Rick Rude. Yeah.
Vicious Vicky, I think, is signed, but I don't know who KJ Orso is. I've never heard of that person. So sorry, dude. All right, Rascals wrestling the Bucks this week. That would be fun. I think that's a triple threat tag match.
There's a mystery tag team that's going to wrestle them too. Like that's like the Rascals and the Young Bucks is like that's like perfect. That's like amazing stuff for a Dynamite or for like an opener on a pay per view or something like that. Like I love that the Rascals are in this company. I absolutely do.
Yeah, yeah. Who could you possibly want to see AJ Styles wrestle in TNA? Yeah, Santana and Leon Slater.
What?
Yeah, Frankie Kazarian can still wrestle. He's really good. Yeah, that would be a fun match.
AJ versus Macklin.
Macklin, Moose. I think AJ and Moose would friggin' tear it down for sure.
AJ would bump around the world for Moose.
Yeah. Yeah,
that'd be fun.
Yeah. I think King, you know, he's mad at me because I said the Winter Olympics are stupid, which they are. It's a dumb thing to have. But he isn't Canadian and they don't get summer out there, so he's a little upset with me right now. So he's coming at me.
I'm a wrestler. Far be it for me to tell anybody else their sport is stupid.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Oh. Fuego del Sol is KJ or so. Okay. Sorry. Forgot about him. Yeah. They brought him in for a match. So.
Yeah, sure. Why not? He's all right.
Yeah. I mean, as long as he doesn't want to, you know, any money. So that would be fine.
I don't know if he's worth a big contract, quite honestly. Like if you're TNA, you've only got so much money to play with and you can't sign the world. You can bring people into tapings, which they're really good at doing. Bring people in for a taping, you know, yeah. But you can't just sign the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think TNA doesn't have like a ton of money. So they're the only company that really stays within their budget. Like they're a very budget conscious company. And the only way that they're going to, yeah. If they're going to bring people in and go over budget, that means that person must bring more money in than they're actually worth. Right. Like, so if you're going to sign them, then the dollars that they're bringing in has to be greater than what you're signing them for. If you're going to be going over your budget, if not, then everybody's coming in and they're just workmen. Like, right. Like they're just interchangeable parts within the budget constraints.
And I don't know of anybody they could sign to do that.
I think Jericho would be the only one. I don't think AJ Styles is free. Like, I think he's still in WWE. I think he's like still under contract there. So
I'm pretty sure I'm not about to work, but I don't think he's going anywhere for a minute.
No. I mean, he just did this whole, I didn't listen to it because I'm not going to listen to a Stephanie McMahon podcast for 2 hours, but he was just on that podcast talking about it. So, yeah, it seems like he's going to be sticking around for a while.
The thought of listening to Stephanie McMahon talk to AJ Styles for 2 hours makes me want to run my face into a belt sander.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And I love AJ as a worker, but as a, like, actually listening to Uncle Alan speak.
Yeah, okay. Lastly, I just want to bring up, I finished Battle Riot and I really enjoyed it. I think Battle Riot's always fun. It was probably like the most star-studded one. They brought in a lot of, mainly former WWE stars, but they brought in like a bunch of former NOAH stars. They were supposed to have Kojima, but he got attacked by Baba Tunde. But they call him Baba Thunder, which is a really cool name.
That's better than Baba Tunde.
Yeah. But like Baba Tunde is already kind of cool, but they actually improved. I guess, how can you improve that name? Well, you call him Baba Thunder. It's like, okay, actually, yeah, that's pretty good. But
I actually coached a kid named Baba Tunde.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We all called him.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was pretty fun. Killer Cross got the victory, which we did say last week, but it was spoiled. And I think people were upset that we spoiled it, but.
Nobody was upset that we spoiled MLW. Come on.
But Killer Cross is now your MLW World Heavyweight Champion. There was a lot of fun stuff in it. There was a lot of hokey, stupid stuff. But the Festus thing, like Doc Gallows coming out as Festus, it did pop me, actually. They did a good job with that. So I enjoyed that part of it. But they have – I don't know how many of those people that were in the Battle Riot are actually signed to that company, but they –
Five. They don't have a roster to work with, but Monster Money to work with either.
Well, I don't know how many they're going to bring back regularly. I guess I should say that. Hold on. Let's see. King, Joe Lanza was very upset. What was it? He had to be upset at the Festus thing. He does not like comedy.
No. Love Joe Lanza. The man hates comedy and wrestling more than
anybody yeah. in my entire life. Yeah, because Doc Gallows appears early in the match, gets eliminated, comes back towards the end, and he's a Festus. And then Carl Anderson gets thrown out of the match. And then he goes and rings the bell because the skyscrapers, Donovan Dijak and Baron Corbin, start attacking him. And he can't do anything because the bell hasn't rang. You got to ring the bell and he gets out of his trance, right?
That's so fucking stupid.
Yeah. And so ring the bell. And then all of a sudden he kicks everybody's ass.
I don't know if I'd be very upset about that. I would just be like, this is fucking dumb. And it would make me not want to pay attention. attention.
Oh no, he was upset at me for spoiling. Well, he didn't tell me that, but yeah, if he buried me on the show though, because I love the flagship, but it's really hard for me to do like 4 hours, so I don't always catch everything. But so if he buried me on the show, I'm honored.
I've been reading a book for the last couple weeks. I missed the last few flagships. I got to catch up.
Yeah. All right. Last note on this. Speaking of MLW, MSL left the company. That's the only reason why I watched Battle Riot. MSL is the worst on-screen character literally in the history of pro wrestling. I've never seen a fat slob like him be worse than on television than MSL. What a waste of space that guy is.
I concur. He used to do, when MLW was just a podcast network, he used to do a podcast with Kevin Sullivan, and Kevin would be telling these great stories and dropping this amazing knowledge. And that useless turd bucket would just start talking. I'd be like, man, shut the fuck up. Let the guy who knows what he's talking about speak.
Yeah.
I guess Court was really good friends with him, but I never saw the value of anything he brought to the table.
I think that he had connections in independent wrestling in Orlando. Yeah, I think that's what it was. And so he was the head of talent relations. So they brought in Joseph Samael, who was the former Sheik, that was the NWA champion. He was Fatu's manager. He was good. He was a good manager, actually.
He was great in MLW. He was the original contributor. I liked Joseph Samael.
Yeah, me too. So he
Sheik nephew too, I believe.
I think so. But when he was the leader of like the manager for Contra, I thought he was really good. Yeah,
he was
for sure.
Great. That was when Contra. The problem with Contra did is beat its death. But when Contra first showed up at MLW, and they made Simon Gotch interesting, I'm like, this is awesome. I love Contra.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, hey guys, that is going to do it for us. Like I said, next week we're off. I will be back doing a Brace for Impact this week. So stay tuned. And then you always go to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJD Show. We're going to have some content coming your way. Maybe some Gacy talk this week. Maybe we'll try again. The man took us down.
Mike and I recorded a John Wayne Gacy podcast. And then midway through the podcast, Mike and I's computers completely freaked out on us. It was like the spirits had taken them over. And then so we restarted the podcast, we finished it up, and then some fucking guy just...
Yeah. So StreamYard has this new studio thing as you go to the front page. I was like, what are all these studios doing here? So I deleted all the studios, which then deleted the file for the podcast that we recorded. But just so you know, it was really good.
It was a good podcast that no one's ever going to hear except for Chris. Yeah. Chris, that's it.
Yeah, that was it. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us this week. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no rain.
So when I said this,
hi, I'm Andrew Rich. And if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.